Welcome to Populist. I'm Steve.
And I'm Kirk.
Yes, you are. How are you doing today, Kirk?
I'm doing good. It's unseasonably warm here in Southern California. We're going to get into the 90s today, and it's, you know, mid-January.
Wow. That's a whole different world. We're in our mid-40s here in Washington, Southern Washington, and we actually have the first forecast of snow where I live next weekend. That doesn't always mean it's going to happen, but at least it's heading toward real winter now. But overall, it has been a warmer winter for sure.
Well, I am going to be taking off tomorrow. I'm heading to the to Nashville, to Music City, to meet up with our guest off of our second show, D. Vincent Williams. I'm heading out to Nashville to hang out with D for a few days, and then we're going to go down to Florida and do an event together. So I'm looking forward to seeing him and maybe get into more traditionally seasonable weather. Not this 90 degree stuff here in Southern California.
You mean friend of the podcast, D. Vincent Williams?
Friend of the podcast, the fop.
What a good fop.
Well, very good.
Definitely fop. Tell D. Vincent Williams hello for us, a good friend of ours, and I'm sure you'll have a good time.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, we are here in week three of our first mega month about college football. And this week we are talking about best college fight songs. This is it's a weird topic for many reasons. One, listening to so many fight songs, I can't get the damn songs out of my head. It's just messing with me. It's like all these songs. And
yeah. And it's awfully weird too to start listening to a lot of this stuff after college football. You don't normally hear them after college football. So, yeah.
Right, right. Well, you know, we tried to time it perfectly, but college football had to have the bad graces to finish up just before we were done with our mega month.
Yeah, well, this has been a weird year in college football all around. So, you know, next year we'll time it better.
Yeah, but you know what? I got to say, I am so glad some of these sports have figured out a way to put together some sort of season. And it initially happened when basketball figured out their playoffs and baseball finally got things going for their shortened season. And then when football came around, it was just, oh, thank you, thank you. Because imagine what this lockdown would have been like with no sports whatsoever.
That's a great point. I mean, it's been odd. You know, do you really look at the Lakers or the Dodgers as true champions? I mean, granted, they had to do what everybody else did, but it was certainly done under different circumstances than the normal seasons would have been. And I'll say the same thing with Alabama winning the national championship as well. They're not deserving teams. Don't get me wrong, but it really is. Do you look at it in the same way that you look at normal seasons played under normal conditions to their normal conclusion, not the abbreviated start stop? You know, can this player play? They can't play. You know, we need to adopt new rules to get us through, you know, this whole thing. To me, it just makes the seasons feel a little bit cockeyed.
Yeah. And I agree. All the champs are definitely deserving because everybody was under this same obstacle, the same dark cloud and these same new rules and jumping through the hoop. So yeah, in their own way, they're very deserving because that was the parameters given and they rose to the top, but it's not the same as a regular season. And I love how the giant fan in you singled out the Dodgers first. Does their world championship really count?
Well, to me, that was the one that had, but baseball had the most adoptive behavior, you know, the 7-inning doubleheaders, starting a runner at second base, you know, in extra innings, you know, just all the makeups they had to do because of games that got postponed or players that were pulled out and all of that. Baseball being that game that's played almost on a day-to-day basis, as opposed to a week-to-week, or even basketball, which is a couple of times a week. If you lose a player for a game, you're losing him for 5 or 10 games. You know, in baseball also, because of the abbreviated season, an oblique injury is now a season ending injury as opposed to, you know, 4 to 6 weeks on the IL. So, you know, I just looked at baseball as the one that had the most adaptive, you know, requirements. And it was just a slightly different game than I recognized. And it just felt different enough to call that out first. It just so happens that the Dodgers, you know, won the Summer League World Series.
The Summer League. Well, Yeah. All right. Well, we are here talking college football still. So college football can't officially finish their season until we're done with our mega month. So we might as well push on. And we're here with best college fight songs. You went first last time, so I'll go first this time. And that means we start with
number 10.
My number 10 is I'm going to pull a Kirk. I'm going to cheat and I'm going to actually give you two for number 10. And these are both fall under the category of their traditional weight scored them some points for me in my list. This really comes down to a very subjective thing that it's either things that you like or things that maybe we just hear a lot or are influenced about or that have tradition to them. And so there's a lot of ways to look at this. The first of my two is Wisconsin's On Wisconsin. Very traditional song, but a very good song and definitely does what it's supposed to do. Wisconsin's been a very good program up and down over the years. They're in the Big Ten, which is a very recognizable conference. And this song is definitely reflective of the Midwest and the Big Ten itself and Wisconsin itself. Written in 1909, was originally written as the fight song for a contest for the University of Minnesota called Minnesota, Minnesota. But a Wisconsin student named Carl Beck talked to William Purdy, the composer, and said, "Nah, I don't know if you really want to do that. Come submit it to the contest for our school," which he did, and it won. And then they changed Minnesota, Minnesota to On Wisconsin, and it became their fight song. It was the term On Wisconsin was a battle cry from the Civil War for one of the Wisconsin regiments. And it became the state song later in 1959. So it's a popular song, obviously, and that's one of my number 10s. The other one is Oklahoma's Boomer Sooner. Now, I know I'm going to catch a lot of crud for this. It almost didn't make my list, and I'll tell you why. It is very short. It is very repetitive, and the lyrics could not be more simplistic, almost to the point of being not overly smart. And I know I just alienated a bunch of Oklahoma listeners, but I'm sorry. But it's on my list because it is way traditional. It gets the crowd pumping. And as some writers have described it, it's like the perfect 1-2 punch. When at the beginning of the games, you hear the band play this and you see that Oklahoma schooner come racing out into the field. It definitely gets everybody's blood going and their energy up and starts things off for the game. I almost didn't make my list, but I think it has to be on the list. Those are my number 10s, On Wisconsin and Boomer Sooner.
Both great choices. And I will talk about both songs a little bit later on because they're much higher on my list where they should be. It's interesting that you just started to go into the song structure and the song itself, as opposed to what it means to the university as a fight song. This is going to be an interesting list now because you've already knocked off two of mine with your number 10 and mine are much higher on my list. My number 10 is it's a bit of a novelty song, but I think it truly represents the college spirit, college football spirit, universities and students and all that. And it is the Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech. Written in 1895. Again, it's a bit of a novelty song. It's based on a song called Son of a Gambler, composed by Charles Ives in 1895. It was sung by the Georgia Tech Glee Club. It then took on popularity. The Ramblin' Wreck refers to a Model A. Georgia Tech is fond in pointing out that the song lasted a lot longer than the Model A itself. But it is, again, one of those songs. It's instantly recognizable. And this is part of my criteria for the list is you're going to hear it. You know it. You get fired up by it. The school identifies with it. The school rallies behind it. That's what makes it a great song. And as you and I talked a little bit about before we went to record, a lot of these songs are going to be from universities that have very successful football programs. And I think that's what's helped make them earworms to us over, you know, 30, 40, 50 years of watching college football. Georgia Tech is another one of them. Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech is a cute, clever name. I think it has all the characteristics of being a great representation and fight song for a university. So Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech is my number 10.
I had a feeling you were going to include them. I like the song, but for me, it feels so much more like a college basketball arena song. That's, and once again, it's one of those sense memory identification things that you kind of mentioned. It's never imprinted with me for college football in the bigger stadium. There's a couple other songs that I like a lot that didn't make my list. Like, I'm a Tar Heel born from, University of North Carolina. Definitely know it from basketball and think it's great there, but to me, it just doesn't play the same in the big stadium. Well, let's move on.
Number 9.
It's another very traditional song. A lot of people don't know it until you hear it and you hear them score. But because they haven't been really successful lately, you don't hear it as much as you used to. And that's Nebraska's There's No Place Like Nebraska. Written in 1924 by Harry Pecha, music and lyrics. It's up-tempo, it's upbeat. The lyrics are kind of outdated, but according to Nebraska fans, the sentiments are not. The song touts a place and time that the people of Nebraska love. It's North or Midwest traditions, Nebraska traditions, which is even more important to them. It's about sticking together, overcoming challenges, and it just gets the people clapping and singing along after every score or the beginning of the game. It's deeply woven into the fabric of the university as much as anything. It's definitely a tradition, and you can see it and you can see the effect on the people in the stands. So that's my number 9. There's no place like Nebraska.
I got to tell you, if you held my family hostage, I could not tell you what that song is. And maybe that's just my ignorance, but again, to your point, Nebraska not being as successful in recent years, maybe I haven't heard that song. Maybe it's just escaping me, but it did not make my list. I did. It just doesn't, to your point, it's not one of those that jumps out at you. And again, as we talked about before we went on as well, this is a very subjective list for both of us, just from the experiences that we've had with college sports. You know, who you've been exposed to more, what you've heard more, what's familiar to you. And I will admit the Nebraska song is not familiar to me at all.
Yeah, and I will admit that it wasn't coming to the top of my head either. I remembered something about it, so I said I should check it out. And then I did, and it came back to me right away. And then I started looking at some videos of with a live crowd, and you see, you know, the whole atmosphere. And I went, yep, I completely remember this now. But I was the same at first. But I liked the effect that it had on me of the recall, remembering exactly what it used to be. So anyway, what's yours?
My number 9, I'm going to stay a little bit more in the novelty section of the list, the last novelty song. It's also the only song on my list that is a traditional song. It's not written as a march. It's not written as a fight song. It was a hit single sung by the Osborne Brothers and made popular by Lynn Anderson. It was written in 1967, and the song is Rocky Top, the fight song for the University of Tennessee. It is a very regional song. Tennessee fans identify with the lyrics, identify with the way it was played. It is something that speaks to them in great volume. It's also the official song, state song of Tennessee as well. You know, I just have these indelible memories of watching Peyton Manning conduct the University of Tennessee band after one of their bowl victories. Because, you know, with Rocky Top, you know, conducting Rocky Top, and that's one of their great traditions is having the quarterback or one of the players come over and conduct the band like many schools do. But I just remember that. And I just thought it's such an upbeat and happy and fun song. It really represents the state of Tennessee very well. So even though it isn't a traditional type of John Philip Sousa, you know, marcher or song, it is perfect for the University of Tennessee. So Rocky Top is my number 9.
Interesting choice. It's on my honorable mention. To be quite honest, I don't care for the song very much, but I know everything that you said is exactly true and how much it means to them. And it is the state song and everything. And so I don't live there. And so I haven't been caught up in it. But I don't hate the song either. Don't get me wrong, but it's just didn't make my list. Let's move on.
Number eight.
My number eight is probably as recognizable as anything. It's has served many purposes and it's bold. It's majestic. It's Anchors Away, the song of the United States Naval Academy. Love this song. It's very stirring. It's always got me. It was written in 1906 by Charles Zimmerman and lyrics by Alfred Hart Miles. It was written for a class that Miles was taking, and he got Zimmerman to help him, and because he needed to create a football march for this class. A lot of people to weigh. These are nautical terms, Navy terms. To weigh anchors means to pull the anchor up off of the seafloor so the ship can get on its way. A lot of people spell it incorrectly and write A-W-A-Y, which means the actual opposite of throwing the anchor over the side. That would not be productive for the Navy. They want to have anchors away, which means that it's up on the boat, it's secure, the ship is ready to go ahead. It was first played in the Army-Navy game in 1906. Navy broke a six-game losing streak that year. The song was gradually adopted by the Navy, but it still has not become the official Navy anthem yet. There is a proposal pending, so everybody assumes it will happen. They were kind of shocked that it wasn't, but it's not the official Navy song yet. But it has been adopted by other navies as well, such as the Finnish Navy, the Japan Defense Force naval units. They use Anchors Away as their anthem as well. But it's bold, it's stirring, it's very appropriate. You know it's Navy right away, and so that's my number eight.
That's a great choice, and I won't talk about it too much because it's higher on my list as well. I'm actually surprised we both thought of Anchors Away as a fight song, because it doesn't come to mind as a fight song, as opposed to the song you think about, you know, with the Navy. You think more about the Navy as a service, as opposed to, you know, the fight song part of it. But it really is. It's a great fight song. It has all the qualities you want out of a fight song. And I'll talk a little bit more about it a little later on when we get a little higher on my list.
It's true, but it's funny because even the Naval Band plays it in two major tempos. They play it in their pre and post game thing, which is much more majestic and traditional and everything. But they do play a faster up tempo after they've scored or a turnover. And so to me, it becomes a really great fight song when played at that faster tempo. So what's your number eight?
My number eight will be the choice that takes the gloves off in this episode. It is Fight On for the University of Southern California. I have to admit, the first part of the song almost knocks it out of the running. It's a dirge. It's slow. It's plodding. But the second part is lively, upbeat. It's got energy. It's instantly recognizable. Again, SC's been on football, you know, more than you can imagine, or been on television more than you can imagine. So this song has gotten a ton of exposure. It's also one of the songs. This song is kind of like the Barry Bonds of fight songs. Either you love him or you hate him. And this song, you either love it or you hate it. As a Cal fan, I have come to despise this song. I mean, it was composed by a dentist. Maybe that's why I think it's so painful. It is just a song that drives me crazy, but all due respect, because it does drive me crazy, is because the teams have always been good. They've always destroyed my teams. And it's just, you know, one of these days I'll get you, you rotten kids. And, you know, Fight On with the gestures and the band and the horse, you know, all of that comes together. It is true classic college football. It's Americana. It will always have a role. I might not be partial to it, but there is an army out there that is. Anyway, Fight On from the University of Southern California is my number eight.
Oh, we're going to have words. All right. I don't understand the it's slow part, because I think you might be making the common misconception, because a lot of people tie in two different songs together. There's the theme from Troy. That's not part of Fight On. They usually segue into Fight On, but Fight On starts with... That's Fight On. So even on some of their albums, they have the...
That, and that's the part that, that saves it. But you put 10 fans up against a wall and play the whole thing, they're going to put the slow part with the long part. You got to live with one or the other. You very rarely hear them played separately.
Two different songs. No, I disagree. You hear them separately a lot, a lot. Whenever they score.
I would disagree. I just.
Because USC's got three main themes. It's well, theme from Troy or fanfare from Troy.
Well, every school.
Yeah. Fight On and Conquest.
Every school has got a number of different.
Yeah. Songs. But I'm just saying they don't consider.
Yeah.
Theme from Troy or Conquest their fight song. Fight On is
okay. Then I'm gonna pull a Kirk, and I'm gonna pull a Kirk and put the two songs together as my number eight. The first part I hate. The second part is a instantly recognizable college song. But again, I think 99 people out of 100 would put those two pieces together as the quote USC fight song.
Yeah, you pulled a Kirk outright, or a Nutley. All right.
Now I need to go take a shower.
Don't shower just yet, because I'll be talking about this a little later.
Oh, I bet you will.
Number seven.
My number seven is also from the Pac-12. It is one of the songs like Rocky Top. It's not a traditional fight song. It's a actual popular song. But I think it's one of the coolest fight songs out there. And it's Stanford's All Right Now, originally written by the group Free in 1970. It's kind of become the de facto fight song. Their real university fight song is called Come Join the Band, and it's much more traditional and bounces along. But All Right Now and Stanford's version of it is way cool, as is the Stanford Band, the most non-traditional college band out there. They have a rogue approach, which...
The Barry Bonds of college bands.
They are definitely the rogues. They have a wholly unique approach and style. They wear just a red blazer and a white fishing hat and ugly ties. They play washboards, surfboards, beer kegs, even a kitchen sink. Cellos are in
toilet seats. Yeah.
They paint the bells of the sousaphones with different satirical messages or funny things. They have a satirical political humor in their halftime shows and in their formations. Yes, they get in trouble a lot. Yes, they've been uninvited to places, but they are truly unique, truly fun, and I love them, and I love their version of this All Right Now. It is cool. I've been watching them since the 70s, and there's nothing like just hearing the horn section break into All Right Now. And if you haven't ever done it, go to their Leland Stanford Junior University Marching Band website and check out their Truths and Myths section. It's hilarious about... a lot of these myths about the band and some of the true things that people do know that they confirm, or things that they may not know that they're admitting to.
They're like the Bohemian Grove. What's true? What's not? What's fact? What's fiction? Easily the most suspended band in college history. And again, being, you know, having witnessed the Cal Stanford rivalry for years and years and years, it's one of those bands. Again, I know 90% of the country who are traditionalists can't stand the band. I think they're awesome. And I was really, really, really close to putting this on the list. I had too many Pac-12 teams. So that was the one that got dropped out of it. Yeah, if you're going for a non-traditional college fight song, All Right Now is a great song. And what Stanford does with it is pretty cool.
The Pac-12, I got to say, they have a bunch of bands who do bring it. They have a bunch of good songs. I think there's only two on my top 10 list, but then I've got four in my close honorable mentions. So who was your number seven?
My number seven, again, staying in the Pac-12. It is a song that was stolen from UC Berkeley. The song Sons of California, UCLA, turned into the Sons of Westwood, which has now become known as Bruin Warriors to reflect the better demographic makeup of the band. This is a song written in 1913. UCLA borrowed and rearranged the song, resulting in those all too frequently band director on band director violences.
Hey.
Apparently the two band directors between UCLA and Berkeley really got into it. And the debate lasted for years before Library of Congress told UCLA that the song was in public domain so they could do with it what they wanted.
Hey. I don't think we want to get into band director on band director on this podcast. It's not that kind of show, bub.
You know, we deal with the unique, the different. I mean, you know, top 10, you know, something on something list. We, you know, band directors might be on there as well. Anyway, it is, again, you know, growing up on the West Coast, watching Pac-12, Pac-10 football for years. You hear the song when UCLA scores over and over and over again. It just becomes ingrained. I remember growing up asking my dad, why is UCLA playing the cow fight song? And he had to kind of explain it to me. So it's always kind of stuck in my head that UCLA stole it. So while I don't give UCLA credit for originating it, I'll give them credit for popularizing it. And that is now the Bruin Warriors, once known as Sons of Westwood, for University of California, Los Angeles, UCLA.
Yeah. And that's another school that has a couple fight songs. Their other one, which I think is actually a little more modern, and it was written by Bill Conti. Sons of Westwood, which was the big C for Cal, is not only is it those two schools, UC Davis uses that song. UC Santa Barbara uses that song, and there's somebody else too. There's a third, but yeah, it's all over the University of California system now. Because I remember going to UC Davis.
Yeah, when it was written, it was actually written as a three piece for three bands: UCLA, Davis, and Cal. And then Cal kept it, then UCLA adopted it later and later.
Yeah, and I like UCLA's little flourishes that they've done to make it a little different. It's a little more modern, a little more up-tempo than Cal's and Davis's version, but it's a good song, period. Okay.
Yeah, again, I don't give UCLA credit for originating it, but for popularizing it, absolutely. They've done a great job with it.
Number six.
My number six is taking us away from the West Coast, back to the Midwest, and it's one of those songs you've heard a lot of lately, and it is Ohio State's Buckeye Battle Cry. It's composed by a vaudeville performer and songwriter, Frank Crummett, in 1919 for another contest, as a lot of these songs were. They were developed during contests when the schools were looking for new songs, new fight songs. The contest was held as part of the construction planning for Ohio Stadium, the Horseshoe. It's played by the marching band for their marching band ramp entrance. It's played after they score, during turnovers, or during halftime during the famous script Ohio formation, when a senior sousaphone player comes and dots the I in Ohio. So very much part of the tradition of Ohio. It's a great song, very reflective of the Big West and of the school itself. It's something that we have heard a whole lot of in the past few years, because we've seen a lot of Ohio State Buckeye games.
Yeah, this one did not make my list. It's actually number 11 on my list. And it's funny, you hit on all of the points that I had, that it was written by a vaudeville performer. It's partnered with one of the great traditions in college football, the dotting of the I. And then my last note was, you know, it is played after every score, ... So you hear it a lot.
Yeah.
And you do. It's one of those that is just sheer repetition that gets ingrained. I just don't think it's a remarkable song. I think it's a march, but there's nothing that really stands out about it to me. Not like some of the other songs that are on here. It's a great college song. It's just not my top 10.
Yeah. And their other song, which is called, Across the Field, is good and recognizable also. But, this one, the Buckeye Battle Cry, is just the one that they tend to play after the scores more. And so it influences you a little because you see that crowd rocking and loving it. And so there it is. What is your number six?
My number six is actually a song that you talked about earlier as well, Anchors Away, for the United States Naval Academy. You mentioned a lot of the notes that I had. It was written in 1906. You touched a little bit on the lyrics about Anchors Away versus the way it's typically written, A-W-A-Y. I love the fact that it's an old sailing song, which makes it so appropriate for the Navy and their traditions, but it also serves as this great rallying cry and fight song. So to me, it represents the best things about the service branch. It's the maritime history. It was first played at the Army Navy game in 1906. So it's got a great tradition again with that rivalry. I also like the fact that while it's been adopted by the Navy, it's not the official fight song. I love Anchors Away. It is the epitome of a fight song, and I'm surprised you didn't have it a little higher, but I've got it at number six.
Yeah, I've got some good songs up higher, and but it is a great song. It's from one of the best rivalries in football too. That there's nothing like that Army Navy game. It's great to watch.
Number five.
Okay, my number five is another song we've heard a heck of a lot of over the years, even more than Ohio State's, and that's Alabama's Yay Alabama. This is kind of a whole pageantry song from the South. It too was a winner of a school fight song contest in 1926, composed by Ethelred Lundy Sykes, who was an engineering student at Alabama at the time. It was a very popular song in the 20s and 30s, and then again in the 60s and 70s when it was used as a music bed for a lot of different commercials for sporting good companies and as the theme music for the Bear Bryant Show, the legendary coach of Alabama. The last words in the songs, which were added later, are Roll Tide, which has become the standard cheer for Alabama fans, also used as a greeting for them as they see each other, Roll Tide, Roll Tide. It was added in from the original version, but we've all heard it. We've all heard it a lot. I think it's very appropriate of its representation for both the Southeastern Conference, the South, and the school, the University of Alabama.
Nice choice. And you're right. We have heard it a lot, especially recently, not only in the last few days, but over the last few years and decades with Alabama football. Again, it's one of those songs that I think is perfectly serviceable as a college march, but it's not instantly memorable. It's not one that you hear and you go, okay, I know that's this university. I know that's that university, at least for me. Again, good song. Didn't make my top 10, but it certainly is on the top 15 or 20.
You know, the song has got a little juice though. When EA Sports used to use it for their yearly college football video game, that you'd hear Alabama or Ohio sure. State song on the theme music for the song or for the video game. Who's your number five?
My number five is this is where I get really personal with the last of the Pac-12 schools, and it is Fight for California for the University of California. I'm going to say right up front, is it the best known? Probably not. Is it one that somebody on the East Coast could identify pretty readily? Yeah, probably not. But for me, this was the very first college fight song I ever heard. Growing up with a father who went to Cal and worked at the University of California, Berkeley, we went to games when I was a kid. I heard this song over and over again, and it became ingrained in me. And it came to represent what a college football fight song is. All the variations of it. I think it's interesting that Fight for California is actually a part of a trio called the Lights Out March, which Cal will play at the end of the game that leads up to Fight for California. But Fight for California is a song that's played after every touchdown when the teams are coming back onto the field. And again, it is just that song that taught me what a college football fight song is all about. So that was kind of ground zero and everything's gone out from there. So I couldn't not put it on the list. So my number five is Fight for California for the University of California, Berkeley. Go Bears.
Yeah. And do not apologize for it. It is a great song and it's very reflective of everything good about college football. To me, it's very similar to a lot of the reasons why I picked the song I did for Nebraska. It's not necessarily right there on your mind, but as soon as you hear it, I think you recognize it. If you know college football at all, you recognize it, and the band does it well. The Cal Band is a very underrated band, in my opinion, as is the University of Washington band. I think they're great as well, because USC gets a lot of the pub. Stanford gets, as we talked before, for maybe a lot of the wrong reasons, gets a lot of publicity. But Cal, Washington, UCLA, Arizona State, Oregon, they all have very good bands as well. I learned, going to Stanford games when I was young, I learned the Stanford alternate lyrics to Cal's fight song at first. So I had to actually go do some research when I got into my later teen years going, what are the real lyrics? And it's a good song. It's a great song. Really quick, another little homework assignment for our listeners. If you haven't seen the band do their traditional walk from campus to Memorial Stadium, there's at least two, if not five, six, 10 different videos on YouTube that people have taken of the band doing their walk. And it's quite a sight. It's quite a cool tradition. And they do, gosh, it seems like a couple dozen different little traditional things as they march along at different stages of the walk. It's really cool. And it's all very traditional and very reflective of what the Cal Band is about. And it's all good stuff.
I appreciate that. You're being much more gracious about my school and its fight song than I was about your school and its fight song.
That's because I'm a much bigger hearted, kinder, gentler soul.
You've been trapped in your house far too long.
This is very true.
Number four.
All right. My number four is another song that we have heard a lot. Maybe is not as much in recent years as we used to, but I think we'll be hearing more of it. And that is Texas's Texas Fight. This is a piece that's written for a big band from a big state with a big tradition. And they've got a big drum, the world's largest drum, perhaps with a marching band. And it is a showpiece for a show band. And it was written by Colonel Walter S. Honeycutt and James E. King. How can you not love that? Colonel Walter S. Honeycutt, whose son was a character on MASH. Just kidding. Lyrics were by Blondie Farr. And the song was basically a fast version of Taps that people sung along to. And then they've added some portions of The Eyes of Texas, the school's alma mater, that's mixed into it now. That modification came in 1967. So it's kind of a song that has evolved over the years. The song was originally written as a response to Texas A&M's song, Farmers Fight, which was also sung to Taps back then. So it wasn't a completely original idea. It was Farmers Fight and Texas Fight as the two competing songs, but it has a lot of tradition and Texas does it well.
Another one of those songs that just missed my list. I think you hit the nail on the head when you said it is a big song to be played by a big band on a big drum. It is a very theatrical song. And I think that might have been part of why it didn't make my list, is that the song is more about itself than to inspire the fans. I mean, it does inspire them, but I think it's meant to be this show-stopping piece as opposed to a rallying cry. So I think that's why it probably didn't make my list, but I can easily see why it would make yours. It is a song that's very easily identified with college football, especially Texas football, and football in the state of Texas. Two separate things there. So yeah, I can completely see why you've got it on your list and as high as you do.
Well, who do you have at this point high in your list for number four?
This is where I go back and revisit one of your ties at number 10, and that is On Wisconsin. I think, as you mentioned, written in 1909. I love the story that it was originally written as Minnesota, Minnesota, and rewritten to be On Wisconsin. Again, I love how it ties into the history of the region and the state. It is on Wisconsin was a battle cry that was used by the winning general in the Battle of Chattanooga at the Civil in the Civil War, and has been a popular phrase in Wisconsin for years. So to turn it into a song just made all the sense in the world. John Philip Sousa called it one of the finest college marching songs of all time. And high schools all across the country have adopted that song and to turn it into their high school fight song, including my alma mater, Piedmont High School, who turned on Wisconsin into the Piedmont High School fight song. What was it? We are Piedmont's fighting Klansmen, brave and brawny bunch. We eat thistles for our breakfast, granite for our lunch. Rah, rah, rah. I'm from Highlands Brown. So fight Piedmont fighting till every foe is down. So, yes, it is one of those songs that has lent itself very generously and very nicely all across the country to high schools. In fact, a lot of the songs, you know, on our list have done that. But On Wisconsin is another one that's just kind of been in part of my life for you know, almost 50 years now. So On Wisconsin from the University of Wisconsin is my number four.
Thistles for breakfast, granite for lunch. Boy, the school lunch programs need lots and lots of help, I tell you.
Hey, but we are a brave and brawny bunch.
Obviously. when you found out, I don't know about you, but when I found out that the song was written for Minnesota originally, I started working the lyrics, you know, instead of on, it was Minnesota, Minnesota. It's like, oh, wow, that fits perfectly.
it does. And it almost makes you use the accent. Minnesota, Minnesota.
My two friends who live in Minnesota are going to come and kick your.
Oh, sure. You betcha.
All right. We're getting into the big three now. For me, these three could be in almost any order, and you could come up with a great argument for why or why not. It was really tough to split hairs, but split hairs I did. So,
number three.
My number three is from the University of Michigan. It's The Victors. And this song ends up as number one on a lot of people's lists. And like I said, I can't really argue the point. Written and composed by student Louis Elbel in 1898. You mentioned John Philip Sousa a little while ago. This song was first publicly played by John Philip Sousa and his band. It is reflective of everything that's good about college football. It's big. It's majestic. It gets the crowd going. It's very reflective of Michigan, the school, the football team, the Big Ten, and it's very, very well known because Michigan's been very good for many years. Last 3 years, maybe notwithstanding, it's considered by many to be the first significant fight song to ever be written since it was back in 1898. I like the connection with Gerald Ford, who's the 38th president of the United States. He was a Michigan alumnus and football player, and he loved the song so much that he instructed the Marine Band to many times play the fight song instead of Hail to the Chief when he'd come to certain events. He loved it that much. I know it was played at his funeral procession. So important song to him, important song to college football. I also have just loved it since I was a little kid. Michigan's The Victors.
You're right. It is number one on a lot of people's lists. So I'll be talking about it a little bit later on.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Yep. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Breaking news.
Since it's not obviously going to be your number three, who is your number three?
My number three is the second half of your tie at number 10, and that is Boomer Sooner for the University of Oklahoma. To me, other than my top two, this is the song most synonymous with college football. You hear it, you know exactly what sport it is. I mean, if you hear it in a completely detached circumstance, you're driving along, you know, a country road, and you happen to flip on a radio station and this song comes on, you immediately go to Saturday afternoons, college football. You know, you picture a stadium filled with people, red shirts on, and it's just perfect for college football. Funny thing is, it's actually a version of Yale's fight song, which is called Bula Bula. And then they also stole a section from the North Carolina song you mentioned, I'm a Tar Heel, to put that on at the end of it as well. So it really is kind of a patchwork song, but it works beautifully as a full composition. You also mentioned that the Sooner Schooner comes out with it. It's a great 1-2 punch, as they mentioned, that is a great college football tradition. I also love it that this tune is also used as the basis for the Albanian national song. How on earth that happened, no clue, but it just shows you the reach and popularity of some of these songs all across the world. So yes, Oklahoma, Boomer Sooner. It is a little random too that this is named after literally criminals. They were land grabbers. You know, they were the Boomers and the Sooners are the ones that went out there and tried to get the lands before they were officially designated. So a little bit of shady business going on there. But yeah, Boomer Sooner, everything right about college football, and it is my number three.
Yeah, I just not there with you for all the reasons that you just mentioned. The fact that it's about shady dealings and disreputable people, and it's repetitive and it's stolen from other things. And that's what knocked it down for me. Is it recognizable? Yes. Is it part of tradition? Yes. But,
speaking of shady dealings and repetitive, what's your number two, Steve?
Well, I just might change it because of that, but no.
Number two.
My number two is one of the greatest songs ever written for college football, and that's from my alma mater, USC, and that's USC's Fight On. I, unlike people who are not from the school, I guess, know that it is just its own song, and it starts off fast, and it goes fast. It's an anthem. It builds. It has levels to it. Definitely a lot of majesty, and is one of the most traditional songs out there in college football. Widely known, and part of a great rivalry in which that fight song might be talked about by me on the number one. But it's great. It's everything that is right about fight songs and what it does to its student body and how it inspires the team and how it is widely known. So Fight On from USC, my number two.
And it is a good choice. Again, I dogged it earlier and mostly in jest. It is another one of those songs that is, you know, instant Saturday afternoon when you hear it and you're looking forward to a good game. Hopefully it's a game that pairs them up against, you know, Notre Dame or Stanford or Cal and, you know, let's lace them up and see what happens. Yeah. No fault. It absolutely belongs in the top 10.
Well, we haven't heard your number two yet, so I will give you this chance to move USC's Fight On up to your number two as well, if you'd like.
I will put it at number two, but on a much different list.
Oh, all right. Who's your number two?
My number two was written in 1908, and it gained popularity when Newt Rockne began playing a national schedule with this team. And this is Victory March for the University of Notre Dame. As we talked about on a previous show, Notre Dame was really the first national program. They were the first team. When Rockne was rebuffed by the Big Ten, I think, at that point in time, and he said, to hell with it, we're just going to go play a national schedule. He turned Notre Dame from a regional school, like most schools were at that point in time, into a national school. Awareness became national for them. And that meant that all of the trappings that went along with it, the leprechaun mascot, the golden helmets, Touchdown Jesus, and the fight song, all gained national traction. And I think people really became very, very familiar with it. And again, those games with Lindsey Nelson on Saturday mornings when you got Notre Dame football exposed the song to a national audience so much early and so much more regularly than most of the other songs that we've got on our list. And it doesn't hurt, too, that it was featured predominantly in Newt Rockne All-American and even in Airplane. You know, it made sense to play in there as well. It's a well-known song. It is college football to so many people. And Victory March from Notre Dame is my number two.
All right. Well, we have our 10 through twos. Let's recap those. I had for number 10, a tie with On Wisconsin and Boomer Sooner, which Kirk had both much higher. Number 9 was There's No Place Like Nebraska from the University of Nebraska. Number 8 was Anchors Away by Navy. Number 7 was Stanford's version of All Right Now. Number 6 was Ohio State's Buckeye Battle Cry, Yay Alabama. Number 5, Texas Fight at 4 from the University of Texas. Michigan's The Victors, number 3, and USC's Fight On at number 2. Kirk, who was your 10 through 2?
My 10 through 2, starting at number 10, the Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech. Tennessee's Rocky Top was number 9. Fight On from USC was number 8. Sons of Westwood, now known as Bruin Warriors, is number 7. Anchors Away from Navy, number 6. Fight for California, number 5. Minnesota, now known as On Wisconsin, was my number 4. Boomer Sooner, number 3. The Victory March from Notre Dame was number 2. And that takes us to
number 1.
And my number 1 is what you just talked about, and that is USC's arch rival, Notre Dame, and their victory march. Yeah, you almost feel like I should hate this song, but I got to give it props. My notes had that it was actually composed in 1905. It just wasn't really revealed for the school and to the school till 1908. And then they didn't really use it till 1909 when they played it in the Rotunda of the Golden Dome on campus for Easter Sunday. The lyrics were revised in the 20s, but it was originally written by Reverend Michael J. Shea, who was an organist at St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York later. He was a Notre Dame graduate, of course. And his brother, John F. Shea, wrote the lyrics for him. The song has been used by a few Australian Football League teams with revised lyrics. It started being played by Notre Dame band for sporting events all the way in 1919. You can see the movies like Newt Rockne All-American and Rudy. It's used really, really well in the movie Rudy. I think it really plays toward the hallowed halls of Notre Dame and its tradition and its mystique and the magic that's there on campus. And as Rudy is trying to become part of that campus and that team. And then it's used, of course, toward the end when Rudy finally gets his payoff. But that's kind of what that music stirs in you. It stirs a lot of emotions, and it stirs the echoes of the hallowed teams from the past and the great coaches and players from the past and their winning tradition and their winning ways and what they mean in the landscape of college football. So very deserving of number one, even though as a USC guy, it almost hurts to put it there. But it's a great song. Notre Dame's Victory March is my number one.
I find it interesting that as we both talk about the song, we both mentioned that it was featured in Newt Rockne All-American, but you referenced Rudy and I referenced Airplane. And I think that absolutely speaks volumes about who we are and what our relationship is after all these years.
So true. So true.
Hey, let me ask you a question. You said that Notre Dame was SC's big rival,
yeah.
Right? Their number one rival. Arch rival.
Yeah.
Do you think Notre Dame considers SC to be their primary arch rival?
Yes, I do. From what I've read from their own pages,
website.
So not Michigan? No. In fact, they've dropped Michigan from the schedule. That they only play Michigan once in a blue moon now. Once they had that agreement with the ACC that they had to play a partial ACC schedule, they didn't have room for everything. So they kept USC and they kept Stanford on their schedule. But they dropped Michigan, surprisingly.
Interesting. All right.
Because they used to play both Michigan schools, or there's plenty of Michigan schools, but Michigan and Michigan State used to be regulars on Notre Dame's schedule because of their proximity and the regional rivalry. But
right.
Yeah. I'm personally sad that they don't do that one because there were some great, great Notre Dame-Michigan games.
Oh, yeah.
That brings us to your number one.
Well, speaking of, my number one is from the University of Michigan. You've mentioned it earlier. It is Hail to the Victors. As you said, first played publicly by John Philip Sousa and considered the first significant college fight song ever written. For me, it's everything a fight song should do. It should inspire you. It should fire you up. It should energize. It's a rallying cry. It's a call and response, you know, between the band and the fans. Now picture all of that in front of 100,000 fans at the Big House, playing Ohio State, And that music comes up when Michigan runs onto the field. That is 110% pure college football. It's a fall day. It's a little crisp, maybe a little bit of steam coming off of the players because it's cold back there, maybe even a little snow on the ground. But that is the game that is just known as the one that is going to settle, you know, scores. You know, it's usually going to be the winner of the conference. It's usually somebody that's going for a national championship aspiration. And that song is one that has, I think, gives Michigan an advantage. I mean, it is so popular, 100,000 fans, you know, rising is one. When the team comes out, how could you not be inspired? Hail to the Victors is pure college football, and it is absolutely my number one.
Yeah, it's like I said, any one of those for my top three could have been there. You could say, okay, your list has to have the Victors number one. I'm fine with that. It has to have Fight On as number one. I'm fine with that, obviously. But yeah, the Victors, you hear the song and you see the winged helmet. You have the visions of, like you said, the crowd up and the guys coming out and slapping the Go Blue banner that they hold in midfield and just, you know, all the stuff, Bo Schembechler running out there and stuff. It's great. And it paints a lot of imagery. Very, very good choice on your part.
And as you mentioned too, Gerald Ford used it quite a bit when he was in office, and it's a testimony to the song that it plays well in an official arena, an official capacity, a presidential capacity, as well as a college football fight song. It just makes it a great piece of music all around.
Very much so. Well, that's our first half. That's our list. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to do a couple things a little different. So we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Okay, show of hands. Do you stick around for the credits at the end of a movie or a TV show? You might, but most folks don't. And even then, you might not be familiar with half the jobs on there. My name is Bruce Rand Berman. When I came out to LA a while back, I found there was a lot more to this industry than I realized. With the help of some great friends and mentors along the way, I've been able to chart my course to where I am today, an experienced television producer doing a podcast about all the different jobs there are in Hollywood and how to get them. So check out Call Time on your favorite podcast platform. You'll hear all about the industry straight from the mouths of the real people who work hard every day and night in the trenches on set and in the office. Yeah, this is my podcast, but it's your call time. Don't be late.
Hello. Wait, what? You haven't heard the new podcast, Mojo Girl Madness? Good news. Season 1 is now available for binging. Mojo Girl Madness is a mad pod with interviews, rants, and stories about sex, relationships, family, divorce, politics, showbiz, and mostly your mojo. Find Mojo Girl Madness wherever you get your pods or at mojogirlmadness.com. And now, back to the main event. Love you madly.
Okay, we're back from our break, and hey, there's no special guest this week, but we're going to tell you what's coming up on the show soon. But first, let's discuss our honorable mentions for the fight songs, because as we both alluded, this was hard, and there was a lot of really good songs by good bands and a lot of tough things to consider. So who were some of your stellar standouts from your honorable mentions?
Yeah, you mentioned a few of them. I thought, you know, I've always liked Alabama's, Texas, as we talked about as well. You know, and when you get down past, you know, the Mount Rushmore, when you get down past the Michigans, the Notre Dames, the Oklahomas, Wisconsin's, SC, when you get past those, it really does become a little bit more subjective. What, you know, what you think a fight song is. While I would agree that All Right Now is a perfectly valid fight song, I'm sure there's a lot of purists and traditionalists who would not see it that way. So once you get down into this part, you begin to look at songs from schools you might not think of. And again, you tend to associate fight songs with football, but you could very easily make a case for I'm a Jayhawk from the University of Kansas. You could very easily make a case for, you know, Mighty Oregon from the University of Oregon. Again, a football school, but also getting some basketball notoriety these days as well. Fight on State from Penn State University. You know, another one that, again, I think if you were in a certain region, this song ends up on your top 10 list. It might not for me because, you know, we're out on the West Coast, so we're going to be a little bit more jaded and have that left coast bias. But if you're in a region, there are certain songs that just mean everything in terms of college football. And I think that's what you get to in a lot of these songs as well. You know, whether it's Penn State, whether it's Purdue, whether it is Syracuse, Texas A&M, you know, there's a lot of good music that comes out of Texas. So, you know, that's kind of a long-winded way of saying there's a lot of different ones that are out there as well, which also speaks to the breadth of just really good college fight songs that are out there.
Yeah, there are a lot. And just as a correction, there's a lot of good barbecue that comes out of Texas, not music, just so you know. Okay, there can be both, I guess.
The people in Kansas City would like to have a word with you.
Yeah, and Memphis.
And North Carolina.
Yeah. And
exactly.
Yeah, Oregon is definitely one of those programs that's been on the rise over the years and getting more national notoriety on a year-to-year basis, and their fight song is very good. Arizona State's Maroon and Gold, I also have always found to be very good, and definitely gets their crowd moving. Some of the Southern schools, such as Florida and Ole Miss and LSU, I think they all have very strong fight songs as well. Clemson with the Tiger Rag is one that we've definitely heard a lot. And I'm sure it's very popular. A lot of people say, yeah, well, why is that not on your list? And it's like, well, it's good. And it made my honorable mention. That's where we're talking about it now. But it's funny because it's a lot of the criticisms musically for it is, you know, it's described as a jazz. Well, it's not really a jazz piece. I'm not sure what they call it. It's not a rag piece, really, a ragtime piece. But it is. It's a good song. It's just, to me, not as good as the ones that made my list. Virginia, the Cavalier song, is another very good song. Arkansas Fight. From the Razorbacks. And then you mentioned All Right Now. You know, yeah, it's not their song, but Rocky Top definitely is not their song either. And that's from a popular song. And like I said before, God knows I'd take All Right Now every single day of the week for Rocky Top from a personal basis.
Well, you know, it'd be interesting. Another list we might explore down the road is perhaps maybe best non-traditional fight songs, like the Rocky Tops, like the All Right Nows. Mm-hmm. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. The song I was trying to think of earlier, the Bill Conti song that he wrote for UCLA is called Mighty Bruins. Both that and Sons of Westwood are both very good. Mighty Bruins just seems to get played a little more now during scores and stuff. I think just because it's a little newer, but both songs are still very heavily weighted at that school. Yeah. A lot of really good songs. A lot of really good bands that play them, and that was a fun topic.
It was fun doing research on this one too, because you find the songs on YouTube or on iTunes, and you click on it, and you go, oh yeah, I remember that song. Oh yeah, yeah, that's a great. You know, there was a lot of that mm-hmm. going on for me, which made the list, you know, really hard to put together.
Yeah, very much. Nebraska, Penn State, Florida State all fell into those categories for me. He's like, oh yeah, of course, yeah. I remember those. Michigan State was another decent song too, coming from the grand state of Michigan. All right, well, that now brings us into
the Populist.
The Populist. It's the chance where we get to hear the opinions from you, the listeners, and what you picked as the best fight songs. We had a wide range of votes. A lot of the big heavy hitters kind of gravitated to the top, so without further ado, let me read The Populist. The Populist, number 10, is a tie, and it starts with Penn State's fight song, which is called Penn State Fight, the FSU fight song from Florida State, and There's No Place Like Nebraska from, of course, Nebraska. Number 9 was another new appearance, Clemson's Tiger Rag. Number 8 was Georgia's Glory Glory and Navy's Anchors Away. Number 7 was On Wisconsin. Number 6, another tie between Texas Fight from University of Texas and Yay, Alabama. Number 5 was the Buckeye Battle Cry of Ohio State. Number 4 was Oklahoma's Boomer Sooner. Number 3 was Fight On from USC. Number 2 was Michigan's The Victors. And the number 1 choice on the Populist this week was Notre Dame's Victory March. Not a huge surprise there. All right. So a couple surprises there, but nothing really surprising.
No, we had a lot of the same songs that we had, just different order. It's what we see every week, that our guests definitely have some great and distinct opinions about our topics.
Yeah. And then there's, as you mentioned at the top of the show, there's just no replacing the influence of exposure and what we've been exposed to recently. I think that had a little influence on this list also. Okay, and then that takes us to another one of our favorite segments, the A-List, where Kirk and I talk about people who have made a positive influence on other people or just positive influence on the world we live in general. Kirk, who is your A-Lister today?
My A-Lister is a 16-year-old young man named Jonas Corona. At age six, he went with his mom to volunteer at a local food pantry. And in an interview, he said by the end of that day, he realized that homelessness isn't just an issue an adult faces, but children faces it as well. And he also began to realize he wanted to help. So at age 16, Jonas created his own nonprofit organization called Love in the Mirror. This organization partners with other major companies and charities to help collect food, toys, clothes, and other items for the homeless. They also fill up to 500 backpacks a year with school supplies for homeless children. And Jonas and his organization, Love in the Mirror, have been able to help over 55,000 people, many of them children, since its inception. So doing something really, really good for the homeless, starting off, you know, very young and becoming very philanthropic and giving back to his community. So lots of credit to this young man. Jonas Corona is my A-lister.
That's a cool guy there. That's great. I love it when the young people recognize those things and how it can affect them also, that it's not just an old person or adult issue. That's great. My A-lister is also a young person. Do you remember way back when in the 80s, during the big AIDS outbreak, how there was the AIDS quilt that was made, the patchwork quilt, and it was sent around the country, at least different big panels of it, and people would go visit it? Well, my A-lister is a 14-year-old seventh grader from Sherman Oaks, California. Her name is Matt, and I'm going to mess this up perhaps, Madeline Fugit, like I said, from Sherman Oaks, California. She was featured in People Magazine's January 25th edition, and she wanted to put a human face on the COVID-19 pandemic by creating a patchwork quilt, much like the AIDS quilt. Her mother, Catherine, worked on putting together the AIDS memorial quilt, and so she kind of inspired Catherine, and she helped her with her current project. She, so far, Madeline has stitched more than 125 squares into five large quilt panels, each square honoring a life lost. She hopes to display the panels around the country. One of the LA County Museums has already booked her for one of the panels to be displayed. And she wants to bring awareness around the country to the over 365,000 lives lost to COVID. So I like that. I like her slant on it, as I liked your boy's slant on his project as well. Good choices for the A-List. I like that segment. Good job to both of them.
Kids like these, the future's in good hands.
Absolutely. So we're coming toward the end of our first mega month, which has been the college football month. Our next show will be the final show of that month, and it'll be about the best Heisman Trophy winners. We will have another guest to join us to discuss and debate who we think are the top 10 Heisman Trophy winners of all time. In February, we're going to be getting back into kind of our normal pattern. We'll have about three shows a month and covering a variety of topics. The first one will kind of be our Valentine's Day episode, in which we're going to discuss best romantic comedy movies. That should be fun, getting back into the movie discussion. Down the road, you can expect to see us discuss things like best book series, best female solo or lead singers for music, best candies, kind of a food topic, best TV cartoon series, best comedians, plus more things down the road as well, covering a bunch of different subjects. So keep tuning in. We appreciate you as our listeners, and we do this for you as much as we do it for ourselves. We have fun, but we hope you're having fun as well.
And you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Google, iHeartRadio, Pandora, or wherever you go to get your fine podcasts. We are a member of the Buzzsprout community, and Populist is a Vintage Year production.
And don't forget about our website where you can find out more about the show and vote on the poll for each week's topic. It's very important. We'd love to have your input on our topics. And that is at populouspodcast.net. So go check it out. Find out more about the show. Vote, vote, vote. So that does it. Another great episode. It's fun hanging out with you, Kirk. Fun talking college fight songs. And look forward to next time.
This has turned out to be a mega fun month to do. I'm really enjoying the dive into college football. And I think the Heisman Trophy show is going to be a good show. So thanks for making it fun.
Absolutely. We'll do more mega months down the road. But for right now, everybody have a good week. We'll talk to you soon. And ciao.
Stay safe, everybody.